You're listening to a Here's Hope America Hope Chest audio sermon. This sermon is entitled, Your Alter Ego, and is taken from the scripture reading Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 1 through 8. The sermon was recorded at Mountain Grove First Baptist Church in Mountain Grove, Missouri, on February the 7th, 2016. The speaker is Pastor Jay Scribner, the Executive Director of Here's Hope America.
Turn, please, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 27. Early on in the Bible, Deuteronomy. Chapter 27. A message entitled, Your Alter Ego. I hope you have a listening sheet. They were on the table back there with your bulletins. And so I hope you have one of those. Get a pen or pencil ready so that you can fill in the blanks of our listening sheet this morning. I note you also have space on your bulletin for some sermon notes. It's always good to be in that habit, and so let me encourage you in that. We are reading from the book of Deuteronomy, and we are in chapter 27, and I want us to read verses 1 through 8, your alter ego. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. And you shall write upon them all the words of this law, when you are passed over, that you may go in into the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. Therefore it shall be, when you are gone over Jordan, that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there shall you build an altar unto the Lord your God, an altar of stones, and you shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of whole stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord your God, and you shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Now, when my wife and I moved to Branson, it's been 38 years ago now, and our oldest son was three, and he had just had his birthday just less than 2 months prior to that, And we also were expecting our second child. Kay was only about 3 months along at that time. And for Paul, our oldest son, for his birthday, 2 months prior to that, we had bought him a swing set. We were living in Fort Worth, Texas, and knowing, though, that we were in the process of making a move somewhere to begin a pastorate. Knowing that, we thought, you know what, we're not going to put this swing set together yet. We'll put it on the truck and carry it with us wherever we're going, and whenever we get there, we'll put that swing set together. Now, if you knew my lack of construction abilities, that was one of the main reasons why I didn't want to put it together and then take it apart. And so that's what we did. We loaded that thing on the truck, and we got to Branson, and not long after we were there, just 1 or 2 weeks, I told Kay, I said, I'm going to take this Saturday and I'm going to put that swing set together. And I set aside the entire day. Now, for most of you men, it'd probably take an hour to two to put that thing together. I set aside the entire day. Primarily, one of the reasons, I'm not really allowed around power tools and pointed objects. And so I set out that morning in search of the title, Father of the Year. And into the afternoon, this thing was looking pretty doggone good. And by the middle of the afternoon, I had it all together. Kay was out there as a cheerleader, and our little boy Paul was so excited about having a new swing set. I had one more step to do. All I needed to do was to put 4 anchor rods, about probably 2 feet, put 4 anchor rods in the ground in order to secure that swing set. We wanted and needed to be safety-minded, and so we were just about ready to launch that thing and to put our son in one of those swings, and I would be Father of the Year. Now, I grew up in East Central Illinois, farming community, deep, rich, black dirt. So I took that first anchor rod, and I got introduced to Taney County, Missouri. I managed to get it about 1.5 inches into the ground before I hit a rock. I dug that rock out, only to discover about 10 more. Do you know it was 2 weeks later before I got those anchor rods in me? So much for being Father of the Year. What a rude awakening for this young man that grew up where there was dirt more than just 1 inch deep. Well, rocks is what I found. We're talking hard things. We're talking about the inability to really put down an anchor. We're talking about the possibility of having your whole swing set turned upside down. Now, let me ask you something. Have you had any circumstances and situations in your life that perhaps have had the potential of turning everything upside down? You been there? Probably several of us have. And if you haven't, just hang on long enough that it's high likelihood that you might. Have you had any hard things in your life that have kept you from really feeling securely anchored? Have you had any rocks and stones and difficult, hard things in your life that have really made things miserable for you? The reality is, somebody here today very possibly might be experiencing that right now. Some real hard thing, some real difficulty, some real problematic circumstance or situation in your life that you're wondering if your life's going to tip over. Have you had any circumstances or situations in your life that you really needed to get pinned down before you felt like you could really get on with life. Well, I want you to take notes today, but as much as anything, I'd really like for you to listen with your heart today. I'm going to share a message from God's Word and just some insights from God's Word that probably will speak to somebody here in a real unique way, just because you happen to be on a journey that's hard, difficult. Maybe an extreme trial, maybe a circumstance, a situation. Maybe other people know about it, and maybe they don't. You may be the only one that knows about the real hard thing that you're going through and that you're experiencing. There's a need for us to understand the concept of altars within our life, and that's what I want to talk to you about over the next few minutes. And there's a tremendous need for us to get back into the biblical habit of erecting altars in our life. You'll understand all that over the next few minutes, I believe. Let me pose five questions for us today, and they're right there on your listening sheet. And then let's attempt to answer these questions as we walk through this message this morning entitled, Your Alter Ego. Here's number one, question number one. What is an altar? Now, there are a tremendous number of incidents in the Old Testament which tell the story of the erection of altars. You know, just in the life of Abraham alone, there are 8 altar incidents. And this story from Deuteronomy chapter 27, which we have read today, has to do with the commandment from Moses to the children of Israel concerning the formation of an altar once they enter the promised land. All right, now here's the definition, so get ready to write it down. This is question number one. What is an altar? And here it is. It is the formation of a memorial signifying a life-changing encounter with God. The formation of an altar signifying a life-changing encounter with God. Do we have that on the PowerPoint? Maybe not. All right, everybody get it? It is the formation of a memorial. And especially the thing that I had there signifying a life-changing encounter. Say those three words with me, please. Life-changing encounter. Life-changing encounter. Now, I want to clarify the fact that what I'm suggesting today is not to indicate that we can't get help and we can't get advice and we can't get direction from people like counselors, pastors, Sunday school teachers, best friends, people that we really trust. I'm not indicating or suggesting that we can't get help and we can't get direction from people that God brings into our life. There certainly is a place for all of that in our spiritual journey. But what I want to suggest is that there are some things in your life that can only be solved by an encounter with God. Did you catch that? There are some circumstances and there are some situations. Now, here's the problem.
So many times when we find ourselves faced with these hard things, when we find ourselves faced with this hard circumstance, when we find ourselves with our backs against the wall, too many times we have a tendency of going to the world instead of to the Word. And I'm just saying to you that God allows our journey, and you'll understand that more carefully here in just more fully here in just a moment. God allows our journey in life so that we can learn dependence upon Him. There is a reason God wanted to instruct the children of Israel through Moses that when you get into the land, I want you to build an altar. Partially so that you can remember the journey of getting there. And so I'm just saying to you that there are some circumstances, there are some situations in life that can only be answered, can only be met through a personal, life-changing encounter with God. And this encounter needs to be with such force and with such an impact and with such a transparency on your part that the end result is that you will never be the same after you deal with God. And it's a result of that type of encounter that caused then for the formation of a memorial altar which signifies this life-changing encounter that you have had with God. It's important for us to understand that God isn't just zigzagging you through life. God has a direction for you. And it is as God guides you and directs you through life that you can look back and you can see the different memorial altars that you have erected because of these encounters that you have had with God. Every altar that you build is going to relate to some personal experience which has been definite and deliberate in your life under God's direction. You see, that's the reason God even established the different feasts of the Bible. And that's the reason that God established the Sabbath day, so that we could get with God. And that's what church is all about. So that we can get with God. So that we can have an encounter with God. And the reality is, God didn't allow us or doesn't allow us or encourages us not to even go beyond 1 week, beyond 6 days before you have set aside a personal encounter with Him. Everybody following this? The Old Testament Sabbath is not, the biblical Sabbath is not just relegated to the Old Testament. And it's not relegated to the Jewish people. God wants to meet with us. That's the reason we show up on Sundays. You see, it's not just for us to enjoy our Sunday school fellowship. It's good that you do. It's not just for us to enjoy the cinnamon rolls. I tried to talk a lady out of a whole basket full of them this morning. It's not just so that we can be with our best friend. It's not just because it's a habit. It's not just because, well, it's a schedule we have. It's Sunday, so I guess I'll get up and go to church. No, God wants us to have an encounter with Him. That's why we're here. It's not just because we like the music. It's not just to say, I wonder what that short preacher is going to talk about today. No. God wants us to encounter Him. And for that encounter to be with such an impact that there's a reason for us to remember it. All right, here's the second question. Question number one, what is an altar? Question number two, what are altars made of? Now, the answer to this question probably seems very simple. What would you think? Come on. I think I'm hearing it. Rocks! Rocks! You were afraid to risk, weren't you? Rocks! Altars are made out of rocks. Actually, for our understanding in a realistic way, let me suggest that these altars that we're making are not just rocks at all, but let me refer to them as hard things. Okay? So as you're taking notes, you've got it right there. What are altars made of? Well, rocks, or for our understanding this morning, let's call them hard things. Hard things. Now, you ever had any hard things? You ever had any hard times? You ever had any difficulties? You ever had any problems or confrontations in your life? I would venture to say probably everybody here in one way or another, in one form or another, at one time or another, has in fact had some kind of hard circumstance, some kind of hard situation, a hard thing in your life. You ever had any hard times or difficulties that have just really, I mean, you thought, wow, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to take this. You see, altars are made out of these type of encounters that God allows to come into your life to bring you to a specific point and a specific place of dealing with this particular matter or this particular subject or this particular problem or this particular difficulty or decision or trial. God allows that. And it brings you to a point where it's just you and God. Now that's important for us to understand. There are times when you seek after no other resource but God. Is it fun having these hard times, hard things, hard difficulties, trials, problems? No. But what I want us to see this morning is that God allows these circumstances and these situations in our life so that He can show up, so that He can intervene, so that He can display His power, His presence, and His provision in your life, and so that He will get the glory, and that He will get you through it. It can only be settled by your coming to God in a powerful experience. You won't find the answer to this in any other way. You won't find it through some DVD or some book. I've had people come to me and they've said, wow, you know, I'm really dealing with this particular circumstance, situation, and someone recommended that I read this book. Okay? Someone recommended that I watch this DVD, okay? Someone recommended that I go to this particular seminar, all right? Man, I can't wait till our revival comes, because I think because of what I'm going through, I think this revival that we're going to have in our church is just for me. Good? Okay. Well, you know, I need to go. I need to make an appointment and go talk to the preacher. I need to talk to the pastor. I'm going to go see the psychologist or psychiatrist. I've got a counseling appointment. You know, I've talked to three of my best friends. Listen, God is allowing you to go through that circumstance or that situation that you happen to be going through so that you won't run to the world, my friend. And again, do not misunderstand what I'm saying here this morning. Are these people wrong, and is it wrong for you to talk to people? Is it wrong for people to pray for you? Is it wrong for you to share? No, not at all. But we need to recognize that it just may be that God has allowed this particular situation in your life in order for you to have that encounter with God. And no matter what that circumstance, no matter what that situation is, no matter how hard, how difficult, no matter how deep that hole is, no matter how high that mountain is, my friend, it is not bigger than God. God is able to come into the midst of your life and to meet that need. And you'll only find that by having an encounter with God and dealing with it honestly before Him on His terms. It's important that you catch that last phrase I just said. On His terms. And then once you deal with it, you tack it down. You lay it to rest. You can move on with your journey of life after you've erected a memorial altar which signifies that life-changing encounter. So then as you look back in your life and someone says to you, hey, what happened to you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, I want you to know that was a life-changing encounter I had with God. Or someone says to you, hey, you know that circumstance you were going through with your spouse? I want you to know that was a life-changing encounter I had with God. You know that circumstance that you had with your family? That family member that you shared with me about? And I want you to know, God showed up. God showed up. And our lives aren't going to be the same because God showed up. You know, whatever happened to that job situation you were so concerned about? Well, I'll tell you what, my back was against the wall. And God showed up in that particular circumstance. Well, what am I talking about? Well, I don't know. What's your journey? What's your circumstance? Does it have to do with drugs? Have to do with drugs? I deal with a lot of people that I went to a worship service last Friday night where there were 250 drug and alcohol addicts. I deal with a lot of people having to do with drugs, have to do with alcohol, some addiction, have to do with a situation of dishonesty in your life, have to do with a deceitful situation, have to do with some failure that you've experienced in your life, have to do with some family situation or some marital problem, have to do with some moral failure in your life, have to do with the abortion that you had years ago? Does it have to do with some financial thing? Does it have to do with your church situation? Well, what are the hard things? How did you ever recover from that particular situation in your life? Do you say, well, you know, I I just decided to change my ways, and I felt impressed to handle it on my own. Is that what you say? Or do you say, you know, I picked myself up by my own bootstraps? Or do you say, no, I just made up my mind to make a change? Or do you say, you know, I knew I needed to get some counseling or go to church or see the preacher? You see, it is at this particular junction in life that you meet up with God, and it's at that point in your life you are able to go back and say that the Lord showed up and He dealt with it, and I obeyed Him and I responded to Him, and I had that personal life-changing encounter with God. And you see that pile of rocks over there? That's where I met up with God. That's where God met up with me. This is where God dealt with me about that. This is where God met me. This is where God showed up. And this is where I got my answer from no other source but God Himself. Here's question number three. What are the two ways these are formed? Well, we just identified the fact that altars are built with a collection of rocks or hard things. Now, I'm sure not much of a physicist or a geologist, but I've done enough research for this particular message to be able to simply realize that rocks are formed in two ways. Now, here they are. First of all, through volcanic action. That would translate out to be explosive pressure. You've got that on your listening sheet. Through volcanic action or explosive pressure. And secondly, through extreme temperatures. Now, folks, I want to suggest to you that's exactly the way the hard things of your life come to you in that very same way, through some type of explosive pressure or through extremities. Now, the problem is that many, many times these are self-induced. Let me say that again. The reason I don't want to say is I've been there. So many times, these pressurous situations in our life, and so many times the extremities that we deal with, they're self-induced. But they create hard things nonetheless, don't they? So they either come to you in some type of explosive, pressurous action, or else they come through extremities. As a matter of fact, probably every one of us could go back to certain circumstances of our life when we have had some type of explosive pressure in our life. Maybe something did explode in your face. Some type of relationship, some type of circumstance, some type of situation that blew up in your life. Maybe your marriage. Maybe that divorce. Maybe your finances. Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe some type of foster home situation. Maybe jail. Or prison. Or a pregnancy. Or an abortion. Or drugs. Or alcohol. Or some family situation, or maybe something with your grandchildren, or maybe your business, or maybe in your church, or maybe an illness, or a surgery, or cancer. Perhaps you can go back to a circumstance in your life and you can identify the extremities. You know, when you were at the end of yourself, when you were at the end of your rope, There's probably somebody sitting here right now saying, Jay, if you only knew, I'm there now. I don't know where to turn. I'm at the end of myself. I'm at the end of my rope. If God doesn't show up and I need a miracle in my life. If God doesn't show up, I'm not going to make it. I wouldn't be surprised in a group like this. There's probably somebody sitting here right today saying, Jay, that it's already exploded. I'm already at the end. I'm already at the end. All right, here's question number four. What do you do with these hard things? All right, let me give you these four things. Number one, you carry it around. You carry it around. And you all know people like that. You say, hi, how are you doing? Well, I'm okay under the circumstances. You know people like that? Don't look around. I mean, every church has them. Oh, I've got a lot of hard difficulties in my life. I got a lot of trials. I got a lot of problems. You get to the place where you really don't want to see them, and you don't want to show up, and you sure don't want to say, hey, how are you doing? Because they tell you. Everybody with me? And matter of fact, they say, oh, this is just one of many. I got a whole lot of hard things in my life. I've got some hard difficulties that I haven't even told anybody about yet. They're having their own pity party. Everybody with me? They sort of take pleasure in their difficulties. Instead of doing anything about them, they sort of delight in the problems. And to be honest with you, it sort of becomes their own security. It's an acceptance of adversity. All right, now here's the next thing. What do you do with these hard things? Well, you carry them around, or here's the next one. You throw them at somebody. And man, we're good at that. If I've got a hard thing, you're going to have a hard thing. As a matter of fact, preacher, I'm not sure you're not to blame for my hard thing. You see, we want to find somebody we can blame. Oh, listen, I don't know how many times I've had people sit in my office and they've talked to me about their childhood and they've talked to me about their mom and their dad and they've talked to me about all the difficulties they had growing up and what happened to them growing up. And finally, and lots of times I'd say to this person, how old are you? Well, I'm 47. And I give good pastoral advice. I don't mind telling you. And I'll say things like, how old do you say you are? I'm 47. Well, you know what? Why don't you grow up? Oh, listen, I'm sorry this happened to you when you were a kid. I'm sorry your mom was like that. I'm sorry your dad was like that. I'm sorry you had that circumstance. But you ain't a kid anymore. You're old enough to make intelligent decisions. You're a Christian. You're old enough to get your nose stuck in the Bible and start obeying what the Bible says. You're old enough to call on God and get God, let God help you over the stuff of your past. But you see, we have a real tendency. If I've got a hard thing, I think you ought to have a hard thing too. If I've got a problem in my life, I think I'll pass it on, or I'm going to look around. I'm going to find somebody I can blame this on. That's the next thing. All right, now here's the third thing. You can take your hard thing to a rock shop. You can take your difficulty to a rock shop. And that's probably going to be translated out to be the counseling office or the psychiatrist or the church or the pastor's office. And you can come into the counseling office and you can talk to that counselor about your difficulty, about the hard trials that you're going through, and that counselor may even be able to help you identify the cause and may be able to help you go back in your life and discover why that happened. And who knows, you take it to the right rock shop, they can get their calipers out and discover really how big this hard difficulty thing is in your life. And maybe even before you leave, you'll probably get prayed for. But my friend, I'm saying to you, if you just go to the world to get the hard things of your life measured and talked about, all you're going to do when you leave, my friend, is to pack it back up in your bucket and carry it on home with you. That's all that's going to happen. Everybody following this? Here's the last thing to that question. What do you do with these hard things? Well, what really needs to happen is that we take our hard things to God. We take the difficulties and the trials of our life to God. And we have that personal encounter with God. And we don't get with anybody else, just me and God. And I stay there until God shows up. And when God shows up and I have that encounter with Him, go back to number one. Go back to number one. What did we say that was? A life-changing. Everybody with me? A life-changing encounter with God. And there, where I met up with God, and the hard things of my life have been turned over to Him. And so what's the last thing? I erect an altar. I arrange my hard things into an altar. And I turn them over to God. Let me answer the last question for you quickly. Number five. What are the characteristics of an altar? Four things. First of all, it's when you put your hard things in order before God. When you put your hard, difficult things of life in order before God. Do you have any hard things, hard problems? Do you have any difficulties? I'd venture to say everybody here today, in one way or another. Becoming a Christian doesn't exempt you from that, my friend. But it puts you under the guidance and the care and the direction of God to get you through those hard things. And so that's one of the characteristics of an altar. Put your hard things in order before God. Secondly, it's where blood is spilled. Wow. Go back to Deuteronomy 27. Verse 6 says, you'll build this altar of the Lord your God of whole stones, and you'll offer burnt offerings thereon. My friend, the only way, you just might as well know that it's where there's going to be some blood in this difficulty. That's one of the characteristics of an altar. And thirdly, it's where fire consumes the flesh. I want you to put an exclamation point after that. Or two or three or ten exclamation points. It's where fire consumes the flesh. Because that's what needs to happen. Why is it that God is taking you on this particular journey? Because He wants you to be more and more like Jesus Christ. He wants you to be more and more dependent on Him. He wants to show up and to demonstrate and manifest His power and His presence and His provision in your life. And most of all, He wants to consume the dross of your life, my friend. So that everything that looks worldly and ungodly and unholy and humanistic, God burns up and God takes away. And the flesh doesn't get any credit. Only God. Here's the last thing. Where you remember your life-changing encounter. Verse 7 says that, and you'll offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. You'll remember your life-changing encounter with God. But now please note, there's high likelihood it's going to cost a little bit of your own fresh blood to go through that. You know, why would God allow that? That's sort of the old question of why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? You ever question that? You ever been asked that? So that God can show up, my friend. Because we live in a sin-sick, sin-infested world. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why Jesus had to be that supreme sacrifice for you and for me. I can take you back to Oklahoma Avenue Baptist Church in Shawnee, Oklahoma, when I was in college back in 1969 when I built an altar there. Because that's where I got born again. That's where I got born again. I can say, you see those stones? See that pile of rocks? Man, I had that eternally life-changing encounter with God. I can take you back to that little old church building downtown Branson. Just looking out the window. It doesn't have to be here, my friend. It doesn't have to be here. I was looking out the window, and God broke me, and I just began to weep. Just wept uncontrollably. I said, God, give me this city. Give me this city. I've got a burning in my bones to share Jesus with the city of Branson, Missouri, where you brought me to. And I ain't going to rest until I do everything I can to get as many people as I can saved into your kingdom. And I can tell you story after story of God's favor in that. But you see, it started there just staring out the window in my office. And God broke me. And He said, you see those people going up and down the street? They need Jesus. And I can take you to that brand new church building, which ain't brand new anymore. And there before the Lord's Supper table, just me and God. Many times in the early morning hours when nobody else was in that church building except me and God there at the altar, where I had to deal with some personal things or where I had to deal with some ministry things or where I had to deal with
the passion in my heart to share Christ. And I can take you to Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, where Adrian Rogers was preaching. And I could hardly wait for him to get finished so I could go to the altar and die there. And die there. Where God could show up in my life. I know it's been a long sermon, so I apologize for that. Well, not really. So I'm not talking about... And it may be here. It might be here. But I'm not talking about just a routine where you get up out of your pew and you come to the altar and you're there for a couple of verses. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with meeting God there. I've been sharing that with you for the last several weeks. No, I'm just talking about you and God, wherever you and God happen to meet, wherever that encounter happens to take place. Might be here. Might be here. It might be out there on the farm. It might be in your car. It might be in your bedroom. It might be in your lounge chair and in your living room. It might be as you're on a walk somewhere, just you and God. Just you and God. And you say, God, I need you to show up. I need you to show up. Because I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of myself. This is about to explode. I need you. And you have that life-changing encounter. Life-changing. I said it was a life-changing encounter with God. Let me pray with you.
Thank you for listening to this Hope Chest audio sermon. We invite you to visit our website at www.hearshopeamerica.com for additional audio and video presentations and to contact us if we can be of help to you. We would gladly welcome your partnership with this ministry, as well as welcome your prayers and the opportunity to pray for you. May God bless you is our prayer from Here's Hope America. My name is Richard Clare, asking you to remember, hope has a name, Jesus.